You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 386, entitled Interview with Alex Nielsen from Pineapple Landscaping. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for those questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys have been sending through. This is the first episode for this year's winter interview series. Just a reminder, if you guys are interested in coming onto the podcast and sharing your lawn care business journey, just reach out to me. If you follow me on Instagram, you can do that through the DMs as well. You can head on over to the website, lawncarebusinesssuccess.com, go to the contact page, and send me an email through there. Alternatively, as well, there's if you go to the podcast show notes here, you'll see a link where you can leave a voicemail message, and you can do that as well. So, Let's get right into it. So I'd like to introduce Alex Nielsen to the show. Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Hey, how are you? Very good.
I'm doing really good. Thanks so much for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So let's just dive right into it. Maybe tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
Yeah, so I started mowing lawn in the neighborhood. Was, you know, last year of high school.
Okay.
Or last year middle school. And just started mowing, just wanted to make some extra money, how every kid does.
Yep.
And then from there, it just kind of blew up every single year. You know, we added more clients. You know, that first year, you know, we had five or six clients mowing a couple lawns, and then the following year kind of grew to, you know, I don't know, 45 clients a week in the same neighborhood. I would walk around the neighborhood. And then that following year, 2 years later, we kind of exploded. We went from 45 clients to about 100 mowing clients, 2016, 2017. You know, I had some helpers and some friends after school. We would go out and mow lawns after school. And then on Saturdays, we would get out, we would do a bunch of cleanups after our football games. Me and a couple of football friends, we would go out and do some cleanups and leaf removal. And that's kind of how we started. And the following year, in 2017, I think it was, you know, we hired our first full-time employee to help out. And we bought, you know, I bought my first truck. And really, from there, it just kind of took off.
Awesome. So you talked about employees and your first truck and stuff. So when you first initially started there out of high school and you had those like four or five initial clients, were those clients just like in your neighborhood? Were you just, you know, walking to them with your tools and stuff? Or did you put them in the back of a car? How did that work?
I wasn't licensed yet. So I would walk around the neighborhood. My parents would, you know, help me out sometimes, and they would, you know, put me in the back of their SUV, and I would hang out the back of the car, you know, rolling the lawnmower, you know, up the hills in the neighborhood, and that's kind of how I would get around. I had a little bicycle, you know, basket, and I would hang that in between on the lawnmower, and I would carry my gas can and my little weed whacker.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I would do it, and then I would use the lawnmower to kind of clean up the sidewalks and the street.
Okay.
Hopefully I would push that away out of the area so the lawns looked good.
Oh, awesome. So was it like I'm assuming like a 21 inch lawnmower?
Yeah, it was a Toro 22 inch soft-powered lawnmower. It's my dad's first lawnmower that he had for about 10 years
awesome.
Prior to this. And then I took it over and started mowing lawns with it.
That's awesome. So obviously, one of my next normal questions that I would ask somebody is if this is your main income or your side hustle. This obviously sounds like it's your main hustle. Is that correct? Your main income?
Yeah, it's my main income. Yep. We do this, you know, full time. My father joined the business 5 years ago or so. He left his full time job at a radio station, and we decided to partner up. Kind of went pineapple. Kind of when we hit that 100 to 150 clients, and he was like, "Hey, I want to grow this with you." And that's kind of when we created the name of Pineapple, and he helped me kind of grow the business as well, even though he had no prior landscape experience.
Awesome. So that actually piques my curiosity as well with the name. It's very unique. How did you come up with the Pineapple Landscaping?
So I first started out, when I first started the business, it was get or done mowing.
Okay.
But I realized that Larry the Cable Man had, rights to that name, and no one could use the name.
Mm.
I was just, I was on the bus one day coming back from school, and, we needed a new name. And, we always thought, that kind of, we wanted a fun name, interesting name. And then one night at dinner, my uncle had mentioned, you should name the company Pineapple. And we thought that was kind of funny and smart, because another company around the corner from us is Tomato Electric.
Oh, okay.
So, that company, is Tomato Electric, and no one, ever forgets that name because it's kind of a funny name.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we went on with it, and Pineapple, also means hospitality and home. And we kind of rolled with that name, and it's stuck ever since. And now when people see the truck going down the street, you always remember it, Pineapple Landscaping.
Yeah, yeah.
You see a big pineapple on the side of the truck or trailer, and, it always sticks. And so, we always see your trucks in the neighborhood. We always see your trucks drive down the street, and it's always a very good form of advertising. Very easy to remember because, in our area, there's 20,000 different landscape companies in our county alone,
mm-hmm.
Which is Montgomery County, Maryland. And, we didn't want it to be just, our last name or my first name, Alex's Lawnmower, Alex's, Lawn Maintenance,
We wanted
something to be pop and easy for people to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's totally makes sense. Mine's not quite as, popping like that, but there was a lot of thought that went into it. My company name is Cloverdale Mowing, and it's basically because I'm in the area of Cloverdale here in Surrey, British Columbia, and I only do mowing. So it was like, well, this is, if I'm concentrating with root density just in this area, it makes a lot of sense. And to this day, people come up to me, and some older people will say, do you have a card and stuff? And I don't use cards anymore. It's like so easy to remember with the website and stuff like that. And they're like, oh yeah, you're right. Like how could you forget that? Like in traffic and stuff, you don't have to remember the phone number or anything because you're in the town that I'm mowing and I'm mowing. That's all you need to know at a .com.
Yeah.
And it's like so simple.
Very simple.
Yeah. And it's worked so well for me. It's neat to see when other people put really put that thought into the name, because there's so many cliche type normal names that blend in. Like you said, when you got 20,000 different companies in an area, it's you got to make yourself stand out. So that's awesome. I was super curious about that as soon as I saw the name of the business on how that name came about. So you mentioned employees, and it sounded like you guys have had employees on and off from the beginning. You talked about your football teammates and stuff helping you out on the weekends and things like that. So how has that evolved over the years?
So I think first off, I need some help on the weekends, just help, mow some lawns. And, also my friends wanted to make some money. So we kind of did that. They worked, they were just paying them, whatever I made, we just used to split it. And then, that's kind of what we did for the first couple of years. And then after that, once we made Pineapple a real LLC and a real company, we hired, our first weekend crew. Guys that used to work for another landscape company or did, and they would come on and work the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays with us. We'd hang out all of our cleanups on the weekends, our larger projects. And they had very, very, knowledgeable experience. They were on, they worked 20, 30 years in the industry, and they knew, what to do. And they also helped us, expand our services. So when we were, doing a cleanup, clients would come out, we need this little, drainage pipe, installed, off our gutter and buried into the lawn. So we would add that. And slowly over time, it just grew, and our, service capacity, grew, and our employees taught us how to, how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think 2017, we had, one full-time employee. 2018, we had about six. 2019, we had about 10. when COVID hit, we exploded and we went to 23 employees, you know, 2021. Mm-hmm. And this past year, we're now around 50 to 55 employees full time.
Wow.
Which is great, with a couple managers and a couple people in the office. Mm-hmm. And to help us out, you know, which is really important.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So interesting, too. I remember in the last couple of years when I've done these winter interview series, interviewing different people during the pandemic when it hit and all that sort of stuff, and asking people, you know, how has the pandemic affected your business and stuff. And it seems like everybody that I've talked to, at least, it actually boosted like business. It was crazy. It was like people got busier than ever, which was kind of odd, because you would think that'd be the opposite. How was it for you?
Yeah, we exploded. In our area, everyone, you know, was moving out of Washington, D.C., wanted to be in Bethesda or Chevy Chase, which is right outside of On the Line.
Okay.
And everyone was buying houses. Everyone, you know, here works government jobs, mm-hmm. or, you know, lawyers.
Yeah.
And so everyone, you know, worked from home. This area is really recession-proof right around D.C. because of the government.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have that problem. And everyone just wanted, you know, to redo their yards, mm-hmm. and just make their house nicer.
Yeah.
When a lot of people, you know, you're in the economic boom of, you know, 2017 to 2020, everyone, you know, was working, and I think they just realized as soon as they got locked down in their house, you know, we got to make our yard nice. We have kids, we can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, you know, some pools, a lot of flagstone patios. Everyone just started spending money on the outside.
Yeah.
And also on the inside as well. And so they wanted to reuse the space. And so, you know, we took off, and we hired like crazy. We hired, you know, peep designers, had people help us out. And it just worked out great for us.
Mm-hmm.
I know so many other industries got affected greatly, you know, knock on wood, we kind of took off and we rolled with it.
Yeah.
And we grew we didn't say no to a job.
Even yeah, yeah.
We didn't know how to do it. We just figured it out. And
yeah.
That's kind of how we grew the business.
Yeah,
so, which is really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it was pretty much, you know, I'm in a different country and stuff, and it was the same story here. I thought initially, right when the pandemic hit, I had like one customer call and cancel service because they had, you know, got furloughed or whatever it's called from their job. So I thought, okay, here comes the wave. Like everybody's going to be home. They're all just going to mow their own lawns and all that sort of stuff, right? And that was it. It was just the one. And then it just got so busy after that. And it's continued. The last couple of years have been some of the busiest that I've ever had in terms of the lawn care business. So, yeah, it's interesting to see that. Go ahead.
It was great. It was also great for us as well because, you know, I was in college at the time and I was commuting back and forth. My dad was still here running the business as well while I was in college, and that's kind of the main reason, you know, he kind of came on because it was getting way too big for me and I was heading off to college. And during COVID, or during, you know, 2019, 2018, I was flying back home from the weekends, you know, from Connecticut down to Maryland. And, you know, then and I couldn't do it anymore. And kind of COVID was a blessing in disguise. I was doing my online school. And then I would, you know, work during the day and I would do meetings and then do schoolwork. And it was kind of funny. And it got also, you know, me to get more involved in the business, you know, really.
Yeah.
Now that I was home, you know.
Yeah.
And that's helped me take the business to another level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm curious with your sort of starting out, your initial, like back to those like four or five clients that you had, what made you or first attracted you to lawn care in the first place? I know you said you wanted to earn some extra money and stuff, but as a, you know, somebody coming out of high school stuff, there's fast food restaurants, there's, you know, other restaurants to be like waiters or servers and things. There's so many other different things. What made you decide to, you know, start a business and start mowing lawns?
Yeah, the reason why I started was because there was this market that we used to go to. It was the Western Market. It's right up the street from my house, and at the time I didn't have money, and so the guy who owns the market was like, hey, if you mow my lawn, you know, we'll give you credit and you can buy, you know, snacks for you and your friends after school.
Mm.
And so I started mowing his lawn, and I was like, oh, no, let's do this. You know, I mow his lawn once a week, and give me, you know, $35 in credit, and I could just buy all the cookies and ice cream that I wanted. That's kind of how it started. But, you know, and that's really what it is. And I don't, my dad was a franchisee in Domino's Pizza, you know, he owned a few stores, you know, before this. And I just never, you know, I always liked working, you know, being independent and controlling my own, you know, my own route. I didn't want to be told what to do. And I was very kind of stubborn. And so this kind of, you know, came everything all together and snowballed. And it was the kind of the perfect thing. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, I didn't like video games that much. I didn't like, you know, playing on my phone. I wanted to just be active and just be outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to be inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, you know, one of the main things. It's kind of funny, you know, for kids nowadays, they're, you know, locked up on their phones and
yeah,
inside only. But I never got into really video games. I played, you know, your Xbox and whatnot. But mm-hmm. I was, you know, I wanted to be outside playing, riding my bike or, you know,
yeah,
doing that stuff. And that's kind of how it all snowballed.
That's so cool. That's such a neat story that, you know, started with a shop owner basically giving you credit and to see what it's turned into all these years later. That's just so cool. I tell the story all the time about with mine. It was just I worked for a Chrysler dealership delivering. I was like the parts delivery guy, so I'd have to go to different dealers and garages and stuff. I'd have a van full of parts to go drop off, and there was this one little garage, like a family-owned garage, in the middle of this neighborhood. And I'd have to drive through this sort of higher end neighborhood to get to this little garage. And all I saw was landscapers working. And I would watch them, and I'd be in the truck or van all day long in traffic. And it wasn't something that was enjoyable to me. It was like very boring and stuff, but I'd see these landscapers mowing lawns and stuff. And it just, all I saw was freedom. I didn't see work. I just saw freedom. And that's what got the spark for me. Initially, the idea of lawn care was just seeing these other people and going, oh, that would be so awesome to do sort of thing. Right. So yeah, it's interesting. I'm always
absolutely
so curious about those sort of that spark that each person has where that initial idea came from. This next question is one of my favorites. It's probably the most favorite question that I ask people. And the reason is that every time I ask somebody who has a 9-to-5 job, works normal like hours and stuff like that, I always get a different, I always get the same answer actually. But when I ask an entrepreneur or a business owner, I always get a different answer from each of them for the same question. So Alex, how would you define success?
You know, I think success is whatever is success is when you have a work-life balance. Success is, you know, whatever you're happy with. I think a lot of people define success as, you know, making the most money and being the most, being well off. But mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, they're unhappy inside,
mm-hmm.
And their whole life is unhappy, and it's all fake and false and
yep.
you know, kind of, you know, just kind of, you know, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think success is really when you figure out, you know, your life goals and your what you want to do. And once you have everything that you would like, or that you completed all your goals and you hit all those check marks, I think that's what success is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if your goals are to, you know, live alone for the rest of your life and, you know, buy your own little small house in the middle of, you know, of the woods, that's your success.
Yeah.
You know, you made it, you're happy. You know, if your goals are to have, you know, multi-million-dollar companies with thousands of employees,
mm-hmm.
and be rich and be, you know, and show off, you know, all your cars, you know, so be it, you know? But I think it's when you combine, you know, your happiness, which is really, really important, with your happiness, you know, and your well-being, and also your health as well.
Yes.
And you have a really just, you know, balance.
Yeah.
I think balance is the key to success. You know, and once you have balance, I think you'll have success.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, you know, when you're starting a business, you can, you know, put your head down and work, but it's hard to get lost, and lose touch of everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and kind of lose control.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that. Yeah. And that's, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there 100%. I'm exactly like that. I once heard, like you said, a lot of people think that it's, you know, money and, you know, being able to buy stuff or whatever the case may be. And I find a lot of people with poor mindsets chase that stuff, thinking that that is where happiness is, and it's totally not. I heard a neat saying once where it said, I don't remember where I heard it or who said it, but they said something to the effect of, I want to be able to make it to the point where I can buy the things I've always wanted when those things no longer matter. And I thought, isn't that cool? That because that's sort of how it is. Like, I get to my point this year, my truck is, I don't know, what is it, 14, 15, 16 years old, whatever it is, 2005. And I almost pulled the trigger on a brand new truck in this past January. But I was just looking at it going, it's just so much money to like mow lawns, like for these brand new trucks. Like, it's not going to do anything better. Yeah, it would be nice to post pictures of this flashy truck on Instagram and kind of thing. But it was like, and I could buy it and it wouldn't be a big deal in terms of payments and stuff. But why? Like, it's not going to make me happier.
Yeah, I mean,
having it. Like, it sure, for the first month, it'll be, you know, nice and stuff. But after that, it's like, okay, it's just a truck. Get to work.
You know, that's kind of how it is. Everyone always asks me, you know, we have 23, 24 trucks in our fleet, and I drive around a 2017 ProMaster, you know, Ram van, you know. And the reason why I drive it around, because it kind of humbles me. And also, you know, it has pineapple all over it, and I drive it around town, and I drive it, you know, with my girlfriend in the car, and, you know, it's just kind of, it's, you know, it's funny. It's kind of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a flashy person.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, are very flashy. I'm not that way. That's who I am. I don't see spending, you know, money on that kind of stuff, even though, you know, I bought brand new, you know, Ford dump, you know, 550s, 450s,
yep.
We have all that stuff. But for me personally, I, you know, drive around this van, it's advertising. And that's what's most important. You know, I all that other stuff is not important to me, having, you know, Lamborghini, Tesla, all that stuff. You know, if I really wanted to, I could do it, you know, but I value, you know, going on trips or, you know, doing that other stuff. And I have the van works perfect for me. And I also want to grow my company. And so that advertising is key. I don't really care what people think about me. You know, I just, I don't like to tell people that I own a landscaping business or how many employees. I just, you know, I tell them that I work for a landscaping company. I just mow lawns.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, it's what it is.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. So. Yeah. It's one of those things. You're just along those, that same sort of mindset that I have. It's that same thing. It's just like, you know, and I have nothing against buying brand new trucks. Like, but it's the, you know, for me, I'm, you know, work by myself, solo operator. If my truck broke down and I needed a new truck, then yeah, of course, go buy a new truck. But when the current one works perfectly fine, it's like, well, what's the point in buying another truck? It's like,
it was like, you know, for us, when we started our company, you know, I saved up $30,000 and I bought, you know, a brand new, or not brand new, I bought all of the crappiest trucks in the entire world. I bought my first box truck for $10,000, and it had a lift gate on the back, and it was a 10-foot box truck for $10,000, and it was the crappiest piece of shit you've ever seen in your entire life. And it don't look like it had a dent in the top of the roof. And, you know, our fleet was just looking like, you know, crap. But we wanted to save up our money, and our strategy was just kind of grow our nest egg, and that's kind of what my father advised on, and that's what we kind of did, was just grow our nest egg. And, you know, now we're, you know, perfect. And it is good. We don't stress about, you know, having to buy equipment. We just pay for everything cash.
Yep.
And that's kind of what it is. And we don't have that much debt. I know a lot of guys get strapped down a lot of debt, and they want, you know, all these equipment and tools. You know, we run, you know, 12 landscape construction crews, and we only own one Dingo and one Bobcat.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is because I personally think it's a much bigger of a hassle to have all that equipment and have those payments rather than just getting the work done. You know, I don't want to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
And all that fancy, you know, equipment. And I just, you know,
How many times have you seen on social media somebody starting out a lawn care business and the first thing they do is go and put themselves in debt on like a brand new zero turn mower and stuff like that? And it's like, you don't even have any clients yet. Why would you do that? Like, it takes literally 15 minutes to buy that machine. Go out and get clients first. Once you got those clients, then go to the dealer and buy the mower you need for those clients. Don't do the opposite and buy all this stuff and get into debt and all these payments when you don't even have work yet. You know, it's like,
yeah, I mean, exactly. That's the thing. And I use a 10 year old lawnmower to get started. And we would push mow, or I alone would push mow 30 lawns a day by myself, push mowing all these lawns.
Mm-hmm.
And now even to this day, you know, with, you know, 50 employees, 55 employees, you know, last year I got really upset at one of the crews. It was two guys in a truck mowing, and they had a brand new, you know, X Mark 36, a 48 X Mark, you know, Viking, all hydro, all brand new, you know, equipment. Yeah. And I was ready to get started, and I brought them on from another company, and they wanted to come on. And I said, listen, I'm not going to ask you something that you cannot do, and also something that I can't do. And I was unhappy with the production, and I just said to them, listen, if you're not going to like it, you know, you can go. So what I did the next day was I put those two guys in the back of the truck. They sat in the back of the truck for 10 hours, and they watched me mow 35 lawns by myself in 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they watched me. And since then, I've had no problems, and they work great.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of one of the funny things that I did. I paid them for their day,
yeah,
but they had to watch me because they kept saying they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it because they need another machine. They need another this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I pushed mow all those lawns. You know, it worked out great, and they're great guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And they work very hard, and that kind of extra push, and, you know, just kind of show them that I could do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Showed them that they can do it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's a completely different mindset. There, my brother-in-law, who's also a landscaper and has employees and stuff, he would say the same thing. He would do like, you know, 22 to 25 lawns in a day on a particular day,
yeah.
Push mowing. And he brought on an employee, and he's like, something's wrong. He's like, I could do 22, 23 lawns by myself. And with the employee, we're getting done 13. he's like, something's not working out. This guy just does not get it. Like, it's like, I constantly have to babysit everything he's doing. Right. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. It kind of, it's annoying when you have to, you know, kind of, you know, manage everyone, you know. And that's a good thing is, you know, we on average not to get too much in the weeds, but you know, on average, we pay our guys $2 or $3 more an hour,
mm-hmm,
than most companies in our area. You know, our starting wage for a driver who has experience in the landscape field, you know, is about $20 an hour. Most companies pay them $17, $18 an hour. You know, our starting wage, you know, for our guys is about $17 an hour, coming having no experience. And we pay them that extra wage. You know, we pay them more. We pay all of our guys, you know, holiday pay. Everyone gets vacation. Everyone gets sick days. And no company do that. We have an employee that, you know, was in the industry for 30 years. He never had they never gave him sick days, never paid him holidays, never paid him vacation. You know, I always thought, you know, if you want to have employees and you want them to, you know, to work hard, you got to pay them a little bit more. And, you know, also, you know, make sure that they understand that you care for them.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, say that. And the biggest thing that I get upset with, I think, with when people talk about work, you know, your work culture is, you know, everyone always says they rave about, you know, work, you know, their company, the community, it's a family,
mm-hmm,
you know, but why does everyone say that? You know, what does that actually mean? You
mm-hmm
know, and that's kind of one thing that I've tried to stress on, you know, and it also helps that we don't have a lot of, you know, employee, you know, what is it called? Turnover. We don't have that. You know, guys stay on, get bring on their family,
mm-hmm,
cousins, and, you know, they take up our clients. And that's also why we don't have a lot of, you know, managers. You know, we have, you know, two managers, you know, that run around, and I as well, my father, we ran around, and our, you know, our employee to, you know, people in the office ratio, or, you know, non-billable employees is 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking at something online yesterday that was like, you know, we have an employee ratio 4-1. And I was like, oh, it's not pretty, you know, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, it causes problems. And so, you know, you got to pay the guys more and, you know, take care of them, and they'll take care of your clients and their business. And that's, you know, that's what you want.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of people say that whole, you know, it's a family and stuff like that. And yet, you know, they probably couldn't name, you know, employees' kids or things like that. And it's like, you know, or their spouse's or girlfriend's name or whatever. It's like if you're family, you would know all this stuff, right? It's like that's what family do, right? You know, thing, right? You treat them as if you would treat your family, sort of thing, right? And you'd want the best for them and take care of them and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's awesome to hear that. Obviously that's working for you with the low turnover rate and all that stuff. So what about in terms of with these employees and equipment? Have you had, because you hear this as a complaint as well, that employees don't care about equipment and, you know, they damage everything, they don't look after it. Have you found that with your group of guys?
I have had that, and it's just something that you just fight constantly with. Guys, you know, will leave chainsaws or blowers, and they go to get dumped, and then they're lost, and then no one knows where they're at. It happens. I don't know what to do. I don't have to call what to do with them. I've thought about, you know, giving the guys a bonus at the end of the year, telling each employee, listen, you have $3,000 in bonuses that you can achieve throughout the, you know, you're starting off with $3,000 every single piece of equipment you damage or, you know, you break. You know, you have to, you know, deducts off that or whatever the case is. I just haven't had anything that really works. It's just, you know, you got to deal with it and you just got to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not their stuff. They're not going to care.
Yeah.
No matter who they are. You know, even though they do care, they don't, you know, it's not theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, have you thought about, sort of on along those lines of, the bonuses and stuff? I heard once from somebody that said they did something that worked well. It was the same line of giving them bonuses, but it was attached to the crew that they're working with. So if one guy messes up the equipment or leaves it behind or whatever the case, the whole crew loses the bonus that day. So it makes them accountable to each other, which then puts the pressure, and then they're a lot more, because, you know, if they mess up and don't get the bonus for themselves, it's like, okay, well, whatever. But if they're now making it so that their guys that they're with there each day aren't getting the bonus, then it is a different ball game, and then they're like a lot more careful because they don't want to mess. They don't want to be the guy that messes it up for everybody else.
We've tried that before, where it's attached to the crew or per truck or whatnot. It hasn't worked for us.
Okay.
Because everyone plays a blame game. And, you know, so-and-so, they didn't listen to me. They weren't paying attention, or that's not on me. And then, you know, the employees will start bickering at each other, and you don't want that problem. It is what it is. I think we've just at this point where, you know, things will break. You allocate some sort of money. You know, we allocate about $50,000 to $60,000 a year to things breaking. And that's kind of how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And something's broken, report it right away, send it in the group chat. We have a group chat of all the company employees, and they were sending all their jobs, all their information, everything in the group chat so everyone can see, and all our assistants can see that. We can kind of see the progress updates of the jobs, you know, and also if they have equipment pieces broken, you know, the blower strap is broken. Okay, well, let's get that fixed as soon as possible so that it, you know, it doesn't fall off your shoulder and break the whole, you know, back casing of a blower. Let's try to get this fixed. And that's kind of what we do. And, you know, it's worked really well for us that way. I think if you pay the guys a little bit more money and they have some sort of best interest with the company, I think they'll take care of a little bit more of your equipment and your trucks and your trailers and all your stuff. They'll care about it a little more. Not that it's like their own, but they'll care for it. Or maybe we'll have a couple employees like we do that will, you know, tell other guys, hey, knock that off. That's not good for the equipment. You know, why'd you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, so they don't make a mistake. The guys kind of, they, they patrol themselves, and you have some guys, foremen in the company that patrol, and look out for the company as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're not have to be so on top of the guys.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, as well as, I try to implement the bonus structure this past year as well, back in February. But one of the issues is that, it also, goes back to your success thing is I was unhappy doing it because all I was doing was I was just like violation here,
mm-hmm.
violation there. And I was like writing down like $100 deduction here, $100 deduction in your bonus, blah, blah. And I was unhappy because I was just like worry about it. And I was like, now I got to get all worked up and upset about it. And then I was like, after the first month, I was like, that's it. We're not doing it because I'm unhappy. There's no, I'm not looking at the positives in the company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking at that stuff. I'm just constantly just being upset because I am having to write down and memorizing every little thing.
That's
and
a good point.
And that was the worst thing about it was I was just like a police officer and I was mm-hmm. not a business owner. I was not enjoying it. And that was why I stopped doing the bonus thing was because I didn't want to, if something breaks, not a problem, whatever, we'll get it fixed. It costs me $200, even though it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
X write off or whatever it is.
And
we'll move on. And the next tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it is. Because if I'm writing everything down, then I'm like, all right, here we go again.
Yeah.
And so
here comes Scrooge or the Grinch or something, having to write down everything and police everything and looking over our shoulders.
And then what am I? We have a holiday party at the end of the year where we give our guys, bonuses and whatnot. Everyone gets paid week off, between, the 24th, the 31st, and then we pick back up the 2nd. Everyone gets paid off, mm-hmm. And so what am I going to have to do at the end of the year? I'm going to have to be like, okay, well, employee one, sorry, you actually, on all these dates, you here are all your violations. Here's all the stuff that you broke. It's supposed to be a happy time at the end. It's supposed to be Christmas. They're with their kids, I'm not like, come on. I don't want to worry about that,
That's
the thing that I realize, is that kind of stuff. I don't, I want to make this a fun place to work. I want this to be enjoyable. I don't want this to be a headache. I had one of my employees, crash, one of my supervisors crashed a truck into one of the other trucks. And we were debating, what do? Do we discount him, off his, bonus or whatever? And I just decided, listen, it's $5,000 to fix a bumper in the front. And, I wanted to be an employee for a very long time. He's really good, knowledgeable. And I was like, I'll eat it. It is what it is. It shows them that you care, that you're invested in them. And even though it's $5,000, I got very upset that first day. I'm cool now. It's over with. I paid it off. It's done.
Yeah.
Truck got fixed and that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're happy. I'm happy. And that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, right? When you realize that nobody's perfect, right? We're human. Human means you're going to make mistakes. As long as it's different, if he smashed the truck and then you fix it and then the next week he does it again, then the next week he does it again, that's different. But, one time and they learn from it and that sort of stuff. Yeah, I can totally see. And I think you'll be, by doing it the way you're doing it, and like I said, I've never heard anybody sort of do it that way of, with the bonuses and stuff and not worrying about the downtime or the repairs and stuff like that. I think in the end, the universe will bless you more by doing it that way and helping other guys out along the way. So this next question that I have for you is probably the other question that when I ask people, it gives them, they have to kind of pause and think about it. So I'm going to ask you the question, but then I'm going to go to a commercial and I'll give you some time to think about it. And then you can answer when we get back. So Alex, once we get back, here's the question I got for you is share with us a time you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it. So we'll hear from you right when we get back. So stay tuned.
At Exmark, we've poured decades of leading-edge engineering and old-fashioned work ethic into our Laser Z, the pioneering commercial zero-turn rider more landscape pros trust. So now you can experience cut quality, performance, comfort, durability, and reliability beyond your wildest dreams. Stop by your local dealer or visit Exmark.com to experience an Exmark Laser Z and the attractive financing offers available now.
Okay, Alex, so share with us a time you struggled in your business and what you learned or did to overcome it.
Yes, I think one time, you know, in particular, well, maybe one or two times. I remember I was first starting out my business, and I was working in a client's backyard, and then I came out to the front, and all my equipment was stolen.
Oh.
I think that when I was, 16 years old, and I was like, no way. Everything was just stolen out of the front yard. I got like two blowers stolen, and, that was one time that I was really upset, and I was planning to buy some stuff, for some birthday that I had coming up. My birthday was coming up, and I wanted to buy myself something nice, a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to reuse all that money to reinvest in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Good old reinvesting. And, that was one time, that I had to overcome that, and it's taught me a lesson. It's just, you gotta do what it takes.
Yeah,
keep putting your head down. You can't get too upset, too upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was upset that night. And then I went to Home Depot that following night. My parents took me to Home Depot and rebought all the equipment, and it was like nothing happened.
Yeah,
I guess the only thing that happened out of that was I got brand new equipment.
Yeah.
But I would say, as the years went on, I think the biggest challenge that I think, we've overcome, especially, in my shoes, is that I'm a younger person in this industry. I'm 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I got employees that are 50, 60 years old. They have kids that are older than me.
It's
kind of funny, learning how to chat with them. And I think the biggest obstacle that I've had with the company is that any client, any person, there is so many different personalities that you have to deal with. And I think dealing with employees and also clients, you have to, kind of walk on a dicey rope.
Yeah.
And you have to learn how to do all that stuff. And when I was younger, I would just start yelling. I would just start, getting upset over things. And I would just wasn't an unhappy person when I was younger. Now I'm just kind of like, I got to learn how to do things. If something bad happens, I can't get all upset about it. And, if a client, is asking questions about a job or doesn't want to pay, I got to, put on my bootstraps and talk to them like a man,
mm-hmm.
even though I was a kid, and I'm still kind of a kid,
Yeah.
And it's kind of to, use my, all my experience over the years and kind of show people, that I do know what I'm doing, and that I do have the knowledge, on how to do these certain things, pouring a driveway, doing a retaining wall. I remember I did my first big job. It was a $105,000 job. And I had no clue what I was doing. I had no clue. And, I haven't even seen money that big. And I was just like, well, what am I doing? And I was, I didn't know if my quote was good. I didn't know if the clients trusted me. And I had to make them, think, to trust me. I had to say the right things, and I had to, overcome, that I was a kid, and I had to just be confident about it. And being confident, I think, is the number one thing about this. And we learned how to, we learned how to do the project. It turned out awesome. Those clients have turned out to be a great, source, and have given us many different other friends and family, our number. And it's just been wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's really just dealing with, the different types of people that you may encounter. And if you are younger in the industry, I would just say, don't worry about it. Just be confident. Be confident about it. Sell the job, explain why you know it, and try not to stutter too much, That's kind of one of the things is, and take time to, if you don't get a job, learn, try to figure out why you didn't get the job. Email a client, hey, what is the reason why you didn't get the job?
Mm-hmm.
Something that we did, something, about my company, something about me, and they'll probably give you the reasons why, and you'll learn from that. And that's been one of the things that I think, which has been really good for us, is like every single job I go to, I try to get, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would say we probably get 8 out of 10 jobs that we do go on, estimates that we do go on.
I think there's great. I think there's a really good lesson hidden in there about kind of going out of your comfort zone. You know, you took on a job pouring concrete for, you know, and you'd never done that before. But you know, you went through with it, you sold the job, and you said a key thing there is that you got the job and then you learned how to do it after that. So yeah, I think that's huge. A lot of people, you know, they are afraid of that, afraid of learning, afraid of making mistakes. And you know, you kind of in life got to push through those boundaries, and you'll see, you'll have these like imaginary thresholds in your head of what you can do. And then you kind of just push yourself past that comfort zone, and you see that it's not so bad. And now you're at this completely different level of being able to do this type of work, this type of job, this type of income. Like you said, you had never even seen money, you know, that big before. And now, you know, I'm assuming it's like a regular thing. Like you don't bat an eye, when a job like that comes along. Is that correct?
No, you don't, you know, I don't, you know, I get excited about it. You know, you get excited about it. It's like, you know, I want to do it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what you said, right. You know, I goals for myself. I was like, this year we're, you know, if a client asks us to do artificial turf in their backyard, I'm going to do it. I'm going to learn how to do it. You know, it's not that hard. You know, we trained my guys kind of how to do it. And we did it. We've done like 4 or 5 artificial turfs in backyards, which has been great. You know, we've done a couple driveways. I did them last year. You know, a funny thing was, it came up in my memories, that 6 years ago, you know, a couple days ago, was when we planted our first tree. And we went back to that house actually on that day. And I didn't realize it until we finished the cleanup. And we planted the tree at 5 feet tall, and we went back there 6 years later, and we did a cleanup of the house, and the tree is 26 feet tall, which was 27 feet tall, and it was great. It was a maple tree, and it was just, you know, kind of showed our success and you know, kind of where we've come. You know, 6 years ago, we didn't even know how to plant a tree, and we planted this tree, and it's thrived, and it's been pretty healthy, and it grew, and it's been great. And I think, you know, the one thing is that, you know, you want to be comfortable in your space, and you want to be comfortable in, you know, in what you do. But, you know, sometimes you got to step outside of your comfort zone. And that also what keeps me on my toes is doing stuff that's new, trying stuff that is new. You know, we have 3 mason crews. We have a fencing crew. We have a couple of installation crews for planting. You know, we're a one-stop shop. And 2 years ago, we didn't have any. We just mowed lawns, you know. And so, I've just wanted to just kind of, you know, figure it all out. And my employees have helped us out. And, you know, we kind of learn from it. And if you lose money on the first job and don't do it as well as on the first job, you know, that's going to happen, you know. But it's kind of, you know, you remind yourself that it's your first job ever doing it. You know, it's the first time you've ever done it, which is, you know, hard to say that now. But, you know, really, it's a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve. And what a metaphor that tree is for your business, to go out there and plant a tree you had never planted before. And like your business, not only has it grown and thrived, but your business has branched out into other areas other than just mowing. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome to go back and see this big tree, your sort of first, you know, kind of big project, you know, when you're just mowing lawns, doing something like that, and to go back and see that, you know, it's thrived, and that your business, you know, you'll take a look around and see all those employees and trucks and all that stuff, and to see where you came from, and to see how it's going. That's pretty awesome. So
yeah, it's great.
So what is your, after, you know, these few years here, what is your favorite thing about being self-employed?
I think my favorite thing is, and I was thinking about this the other day, I think my favorite thing is, I control, you know, where the company's going to go. I control my future. And every day is a new day. Mm-hmm. I get excited, you know, to start the day. I'm like, you know, there's new challenges, there's new stuff. It keeps you young, I'm obviously young, but it keeps me on my feet. It keeps me, you know, excited to start the day. And I know that I'm not going to be locked up in an office and just do the same stuff for the next 45 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that I'm just going to, every day is going to come with headaches, challenges, and problem solving. I think problem solving is my favorite thing about the company. And also, mm-hmm. another thing is, working with my dad. I think working with my dad has been great, and I enjoy it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that is part of the journey, I think, is if you can embrace that figuring stuff out part of it, because it's going to happen every day, those struggles, those problems that come along, that is where true joy can happen at times, when you finally figure out that thing that's been bothering you, that problem that you're faced with, and you finally figure out. I've literally had times where something like that will happen and I do figure it out, and there's so much like jubilation, and I will literally say out loud, like I'll be in the truck or something and I'll figure it out and I'll be like, I love being human, like, and being able to figure this out. Like, it's so cool to be alive and to be able to use your brain and figure it out. It's like so cool. It's pretty neat that you sort of embrace that and understand that.
Yeah. And I would say one more thing. I think the other thing is, for me, I love my employees. I love seeing them succeed, and I love providing them with a job that pays them well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love seeing them grow their families. I mean, my first ever employee, Mike, has been with me for 5 or 6 years now.
Okay.
He has two kids now. And when he started with us, he was 23, and, he didn't have his driver's license. And now, he's one of our main supervisors, knows how to do everything. Has been with me for 5 or 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a wife and two kids, and we've grown with him. And it's just awesome. It's awesome to see that that he's been able to provide for his family, and everyone as well. I think it's just awesome to see that people are doing well.
Yeah, yeah.
That you help out, that you employ, and I do it every day. Someone said to me, "Listen, you don't have to. You can just." Work the amount of hours that you want to work. And you don't have to worry about your employees and really worry, you give them the hours that you, only have to give them. I've always, strive to go out. If I don't have enough work that day, I go out that morning or that night and I go out and get more jobs. I not, send out emails and do that. Luckily now we don't have that much, have an issue at all, but early on I maybe only had 3 days, but I need to give them 5 days. I need to get my employees, work. And so I would go out and just drum up business because I really wanted them to provide for their families. They took a sacrifice and come into my company. And I need to help. I need to provide for them. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that really makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do enjoy, that and seeing that. And that's also part of the daily,
Yeah, absolutely.
Daily grind, which is awesome.
Yeah. That is so cool. So, in terms of the business and clients and all that sort of stuff, what would you say are ways that you market your business, and maybe share your number one marketing tip?
Well, we spend $0 in advertising a year.
Okay, yeah.
We don't do any advertising. It's all word of mouth. All of our clients get through us from referrals or next door app or neighborhood listservs.
Mm-hmm.
I really guess the biggest thing is, for us, is it's going to sound kind of hard, and everyone always says it, but our average lawn price that per mow that we charge clients, right, is $27 a mow.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might be asking, how the hell do you make money off $27? Well, it's one, because we might mow 30 lawns on a single street, and the crew's going to be there for a whole day mowing all these lawns.
Yeah,
we don't charge that much with mowing. My tip, people, is build your mowing first. Do it somewhat cheaply. I haven't changed my prices in 5 or 6 years. do it cheaply, and you'll get in the door with other things. Mm-hmm. You'll get your cleanups, you'll get your pruning, you'll get your installations, you'll get your plantings, you'll do all that other stuff, which is money that you can make on. But we don't make any really money on mowing. I mean, we do because our route density is so much. But
yeah,
and our kind of cookie key is that we mow probably roughly 12 to 1500 clients a week, and they're all within a 1 mile radius of us.
Yeah.
Of our shop.
That's huge.
Because we've grown it like that. There's low drive time. Mm-hmm. The guys are 5 minutes to the job site. And that's kind of how we grow. And the other thing is that our trucks are in the neighborhood every single day. I mean, in one neighborhood or subdivision, we might have 7 crews working.
Yeah.
And they'll just, a client might be going to their house and they might see 7 different trucks all the way to their house. And it's also, branding your trucks properly, getting the right signage on your trucks, having your employees with uniforms, that's really key. And once your name is always in the neighborhood or always there, people will see that name constantly through the day, through the years. And they might not call, it may take them a while to call you, but
it's being like drilled.
You're pushing them down their throat.
Yeah.
You're exactly. And so, and that's our trucks, our work is our advertising. We don't spend any money on Google ads. Anything like that. If someone asks for, landscaping, people are always, pineapple, call pineapple.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And it's also, again, the name is what's really easy. Call pineapple.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also really what's really, really easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes it simple. I think that's the key to our success is one, our name. And also the other thing I got to say is that, you might be thinking with a company with 55 employees, with all these different crews, 17 or 18 crews that we run on a daily basis. When a client calls, they don't get an operator. They come to me.
Mm-hmm.
They only come to me. I get every single client calls me or my father. That they don't get anyone else. They get us.
Yeah.
So, which is also a problem. It's also a double-edged sword because it's a problem as well, but it also is that customer service. If you have a problem, we only work within a 1 mile radius or 2 mile radius, and we can see, I can meet with 12 or 15 clients a day, but also check on all my crews, do all the things that I need to do and do all that stuff. And for the clients that contact me, it reassures them that they're getting to me, and that we understand their concerns, or if they want something, if you're a new client calling, you get the owner, you get us, when do you want to meet? I have availability this afternoon. Not a problem. I'll be over in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we do things, and that's kind of our key. And it's really played out well.
Awesome.
And so our customer service is what's really important to us, and also doing great work, paired with that is also really why we've grown in the last 3 or 4 years, like we have.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what would you say are your future plans or goals for your business?
I think it's an interesting question. I don't know what my goals are. I the last 2 years have really just grown. I never thought in a million years, I would have all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, we're doing really well. I don't really know what my goals are right now. We have 2 offices. We have one in Bethesda and one in Rockville. Our construction crews run out of Rockville, which is 10 minutes up the road. So we split our yard into 2 yards this year because it was just getting a lot of trucks in the same yard. It might be buying a piece of land, but buying a piece of land, in our area is really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really nothing around us, but I would think my goal for this coming year, 2023, is to, get, middle management in place and getting systems in our estimating and our invoicing properly, squared away, because this year it kind of got away from us.
Okay.
And getting everything when we do a job, we got to invoice it right away and not wait 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Getting those systems in place, because a lot of companies have their systems in place because they grow slowly and they grow over time. But going from 8 employees, 6 or 7 employees 2 years ago to 55 employees within the last year, 2 years, is something that I, I mean, I, I would have thought that, you know, I would have crashed and burned this company. You know, mm-hmm. luckily we're still here, which is phenomenal. But I think getting that structure in place, middle management, is really important.
Yeah.
And also training the employees, you know, on how to prune things, on how to, you know, deadhead things, on just doing. I want everyone to learn everything that the company does. So if one guy goes down, we don't have to freak out and say, mm-hmm. oh, yeah. he's gone. What do we do? You know, I want everyone to learn how to do everything. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my main things. If you got to mow one day, you got to mow one day. If you got to help out with the concrete crew, the patio crew, that's what you're going to do that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really important. I think, you know, training everyone and to be, you know, Swiss Army knife is really key. It's really what my goal is.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the next couple of years.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, to get that done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sounds like a pretty solid plan. Something I haven't heard from anybody else to do. Usually they have, you know, their groups of specialties and stuff like that. But that's a neat way to think about it is, hey, then you don't have to worry about it. If one guy's down or whatever like that, then the slack can be picked up by, you know, anybody else on the crew that knows how to do everything else as well. If you were to start your lawn care business or your landscaping business all over again, what is one thing that you would do differently?
Mm. What would I do differently? You know, I don't know if I would do anything differently. It's a journey. It's a, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a destination.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I've went through, everything that I've done, everything that I've seen, everything that I've, you know, that we've completed, it's all helped us to where we are right now.
Yeah,
I don't think I would say I don't think I would do anything differently. I think everything happened for a reason.
Yep.
And you know, everything taught us something. I don't think I would change anything.
Awesome.
I love the story. I love how it turned out. Not turned out. It's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do anything differently.
Mm. So you know? you're like me, and you realize you love being human and figuring it out.
And it's just awesome to just see, you know, how far you have come and how far the company has come, which is really, you know, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's you know, I wouldn't change it. It's, it's who I am. It's molded me to who I am,
and
if I change one thing, I might not be here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We might not be in this position.
Yep.
Which is just, you know, funny to say.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
Even though I would say there's some boneheaded decisions, some boneheaded stuff. But again, if those things didn't happen, you know, learn by my mistakes, then, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here.
Absolutely.
You know, which is interesting.
So let me ask you then, what would you say is your biggest frustration about running your landscaping business?
Biggest, I think, is there's never a day off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There's never a day off. We work 12 full months of the year. We don't stop. And it's not a frustration. But, you know, I would love to shut down in the wintertime, but we got a lot of snow to do. We got, you know, clients, you know, people to service. You know, we'll lose money in the wintertime. But I think my biggest frustration is that we're not in a cooler climate where we can work 12 months of the year, full-time 12 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my goal in the wintertime, we shut down really December 24th, and we kind of picked really full time back up February 15th. We got snow. We got other stuff in January.
Yeah,
and we week, but you know, I can't stop in the wintertime because I'm trying to get jobs, you know, lined up for the spring. I'm working to get my guys hours in the wintertime.
Yeah,
and make sure that they can feed their families. You know, we give them a minimum of 24 hours in the wintertime. No matter if we lose money, my one. To make sure that they don't have to worry about a paycheck, and a lot of companies just shut down.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
With all these employees and families, I can't do that, and that's my not frustration, but it's something that keeps me up at night.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to worry about them, even though I know I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can pay everything. I can do everything fine. If I want to shut down in the wintertime, I can shut down. But I just want to give my guys hours and make sure that they are able to stay on and afloat. And then I'll be able to have them in the spring when it's busy, again, and they're working 60 hours a week. And so there's just no days off.
Yeah.
Which is, even on a Sunday, I still work.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's another bunch of gold nuggets for the audience to pick at there. With that, that comes with a lot of, like you said, sometimes you might lose money on that and stuff, but you're not having to find new employees in the spring. You're, not worried about employees having to take on other jobs and then maybe not returning and stuff like that.
That's the biggest fear is that, the employees won't return because they maybe found something else better, and you don't want to give them a reason to leave.
Yeah.
And especially, knock on wood, we haven't had that many issues finding employees. We have guys lining up at our door wanting to work for this company.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of competitors in the area that are asking me, hey, how are you guys doing on employment? I'm like, we're doing great. I got 10 guys who have resumes for that want to work for us. That I don't have enough work for them right now, and I can't hire them. But I know other guys, and I refer them to go work for this company. They're looking for 3 or 4 more guys. I want to be the it company. I want to take care of my guys, and they'll take care of me, and I don't want them to go anywhere else. And even though I might have to take a little bit of loss in the wintertime and keep them busy, it is what it is. But then in the spring and summertime, they're going to be there for me, and I'm not going to have to worry and retrain guys or that they're not going to show up. We're ready to rock and roll come, February 15th, or March 1st. We're ready to go. And that's what's most important, which is awesome.
You're no doubt, walking the walk or talking the talk and walking the walk, because when, earlier in the conversation talking about companies that, talk about being a big family and all that sort of stuff. Well, right there, you just backed it up, because family looks after family, even when times are slim, like in those winter seasons. And, if you're a family, you don't stop feeding your family in the winter. They might, there might not be as much food to go around. But you will literally, like you said, lose money. You will literally take food out of your mouth to make sure that family is fed. So that's awesome. Like, you absolutely backed up what you were talking about there in the beginning with that and how you treat your employees. So absolutely fantastic. I commend you on that. We're down to the last two questions that I want to ask you. This next one is, again, one of the ones that I really like asking guys. And I want you to answer it. The question is, actually, I'll ask you the question first. It's share your best piece of advice with those just starting out in business. But I want you to come at this from the point of view that this is just not like, randomly asking you the question. I want you to imagine that the person asking you this question is somebody that you know and that you like and that you only want to see them succeed. So if somebody like that came up to you and said, share your best piece of advice with me, I'm looking to start a business, what would you tell them?
I would say don't get too low on the lows and don't get too high on the highs. And I had that problem as well. Look at everything as a learning experience. Don't say no to anything. Everyone in the industry, online says, know your pricing, know your
numbers,
know your value, your numbers. No, that's very important as well. I know my numbers, like the back of my hand. And I know, what it costs me an hour to operate. I know what each guy costs me. I know everything. I know what, all my fixed and costs are. I would just say, if it's most importantly, is to not get too high on the highs, not get too low on the lows, and just learn how to do it. And once you do learn, and once you know that you're good with stuff, and then once you know how to, once you know how to do things, and once you see that you're on par with the competitors, then start doing that stuff. But don't, then you can start charging. Then you can start, building yourself. But learn for the first couple, learn for the first year. Just do whatever, just try it out and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared. Just do it. No matter if you've never done it before, just try it out. And if you don't know what to charge, just charge whatever you think you want to charge, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and you won't learn unless you try it.
Yeah.
You won't learn, how to price things if you don't do it.
Yeah.
You don't know how to, you know, you don't know how long something will take, you know,
yeah.
my job if you don't actually do it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is most important. And then once you do figure it out, it's also like an aha moment.
Yeah.
No way. I just did this. I just completed this. This is awesome. Now this is bread and butter for me. You know, now let's start charging more money because I know my value. I know what to charge. I know that people are going to look at this work and say, I want this guy. I want this company, you know, which is really important.
Yeah. Yeah, I always say to guys too, like, don't be afraid, like you're saying there. Don't be afraid to learn, and don't be afraid of making mistakes. If you make a mistake and say you misprice something and you lose some money, that's okay. You're learning in the university of life, and the money you just lost was the tuition. And you know what? You're going to learn from it, and you're not going to make that mistake again. It's not a big deal. Just move on from there. You're getting better every time you do it, and you're building your skills and your business as you go on. So last question for you, a super easy one, and that's how can people follow you online?
We don't really have much online presence. I think we have an Instagram.
Yeah.
It's just Pineapple Landscaping. I post on Instagram stories, of jobs. That's really how, you know, you can follow us. I mean,
okay.
You know, if people want to call.
Awesome.
Call or message me and we can just chat. I can help. You know, I would love to help people out. I'm not going to charge anything or anything like that. I want to help people out.
Awesome.
You know, which is, you know, really, really important. So you can follow us on Pineapple Landscaping. I don't think there's another company out there with that name. So I don't think you can get it confused.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how you can find us. Yeah.
Awesome. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Alex Nielsen from Pineapple Landscaping. I'll leave some links in the podcast show notes where you can follow Pineapple Landscaping on Instagram. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.